You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Excellent. Is it? Waiting for the slide. Excellent. So, we're going to start with the first verse in the Bible. I imagine most people have probably read this. Every time that you try and read the Bible cover to cover, most people get this far. But I think it's obviously the first, and I think one of the things God wanted, I'm not suggesting it's more important than any other verse, but I do think God wanted us early on to know that he made everything. So I'm going to talk a little bit today. It's not going to be particularly normal, I don't think. I'm going to get a little bit more sciencey than normal, and I want to explore the vastness of the universe that God's made. And there are some people who think that science and religion shouldn't mix. I am definitely not one of those people. I think that the better we can understand the universe, the better we can understand the mastermind behind it. So we're going to go on a little journey, hopefully today, starting at CLC. That yellow dot, hopefully, if you can see it, is where I'm standing now. And we are going to take a journey up into, well, starting at Hereford, we're going to go up. So if we zoom out, we can hopefully see the red line around Hereford. It's a bit thin on there, or maybe should have made it a bit thicker, but can't do that anything about that now. Hereford is about 5 kilometres across, fairly small for a city, but certainly not the smallest. If we go out again to Herefordshire, we can see it's about 10 times the width of Hereford. If we were driving at 70 miles an hour, if there was such a straight road, we could cross Herefordshire in just under half an hour. And we're going to use that going forward as a bit of a measuring tape. And take our first big jump now to the planet Earth. I'm sure most of us have been on Google Earth. Other mapping services are available. And zoomed out and seen the planet that we live on. And what I think is interesting is on a human scale, Earth is obviously fairly big. Until a few decades ago, everything we had ever done as humans happened on this little planet. It was only 300 years ago or so that we first got hot air balloons to get us off the ground. Now I've got some Brazilians in the audience. I'm not going to suggest who made the first aeroplane, but around 1900 we got our first powered flights, and it wasn't until 1961 that the first human orbited Earth. And there's probably some people here who remember that happening. I'm sure you can guess where I'm going next. This is our moon, or it's a circle that I've used to represent our moon. It's about a quarter of the size of the Earth. About 56 years ago, we got humans there. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin were the first humans ever to walk on a planet or orb other than Earth. You might not know this, but they were both Christian. And once they descended in the lander, they both took communion on the moon before they stepped out. And I think that's phenomenal that Earth now isn't the only celestial body that Jesus has been remembered on. So however, what depictions like this often miss is just the scale between Earth and the moon. To do that properly, it would look more like this. We can fit 30 Earths roughly in the space between the Earth and the moon. The distance varies a little bit because it's not a circular orbit. But if we were to try and drive that distance at 70 miles an hour, it would take about 150 days non-stop. Apollo 11, averaging 3,000 miles an hour, got there in just over 3 days. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin and Michael Collins got into orbit. Of the first two, obviously, landed on the moon. I'm sure there's people there here who remember that as well. I could talk about the space race for the whole sermon, but I'm not going to. So I'm going to take another step out to show you our celestial neighbourhood. These are size to scale. The planets in our solar system are celestial neighbours, if you like. But again, the distance here is not accurate. If I were to do the distances accurate, you wouldn't be able to see anything. Even at this scale, you can see our Earth is fairly tiny. The Sun is about 1 million kilometres in diameter. I'm going to show you the first few planets with distance to scale, which shows it like this. You might just about be able to make out the Sun there, but the planets are too small to see at this scale. I'm going to scale them up by 100 times. Hopefully you can see them now, just about. And for the remainder of this, I'm going to point out that the size of the planets I show are not to scale, because to do so you wouldn't be able to see them. The distance between the Sun and the Earth, as shown here, on average, is about 150 million kilometres. To travel that distance in our 70-mile-an-hour car would take 150 years. Apollo 11, the shuttle that took us to the Moon in 3 days, would have taken 3.5 years to do that distance. Obviously, this is simplification. They're all spinning around the Sun, so it's not quite as simple as that, but to grasp the distance. At this point, talking about kilometres gets fairly unwieldy. So I'm going to introduce you to a new unit, which is imaginatively named the astronomical unit, which is just the average distance between the Sun and the Earth. Earth, on average, is 1 astronomical unit from the Sun. Venus, we can say, is about 0.7. Mars is 1.5 astronomical units. And Neptune, the furthest planet from our Sun, is about 30 astronomical units. So on average, it's 30 times further than the Earth from the Sun. These, if you like, are our celestial neighbours. These are the planets in the solar system that Earth is in. Our furthest reached point as humans is a little bit further. Voyager 1 was sent out in 1977. It's long past its expected usefulness, but we are still in contact with it. It was sent out in 1977. It's the furthest man-made object away from Earth at this moment. It's currently travelling at 17 kilometres a second. It's over 60,000 kilometres an hour. We have made faster probes since. We've also made a faster manhole cover, but I'll leave that out for now. You can ask me about it later. But it's still extremely fast. It would have taken about 6 minutes at its current speed to do the journey that Apollo 11 did in 3 days. Another unit, or family of units, that we can get to when talking about these huge distances is light time. Light's the fastest thing in our universe. It travels just under 300 million meters a second. And it always does that in a vacuum. So we use it to describe how far away things are by describing how long it would take light to reach a certain place. We can say that Earth is 8 light minutes away from the Sun-ish. Voyager is currently 23 light hours away. So when we look at Voyager or send messages to Voyager at the speed of light, it takes 23 hours to get the message to and from each way. Our nearest star, Proxima Centauri, is 4.5 light years away. So when we look at the closest star past the Sun, we're seeing it as it was 4.5 years ago. It would take Voyager, one of the fastest probes we've made, 75,000 years to reach Proxima Centauri, if it were going in the right direction, which it isn't. But the distance is huge. Isaiah said, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He who brings out their host by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing." I hope these first slides have given you some idea of the sort of distances we're talking about between stars and objects in our universe. I now hope to give you an idea of how many of them there are that God has called by name and placed each one. This is a render of what our galaxy, the Milky Way, probably looks like. Obviously, we've not sent a probe out there to take a picture, but we think it looks like this. Our galaxy is 100,000 light years across, and it contains somewhere in the region of 100 billion to 400 billion stars. Now, on average, those are going to be light years apart, each one. I don't know if you can see it there, but I've drawn a little red circle around roughly where Earth is. That circle has a radius of about 2,000 light years. So the light reaching us from those stars started its journey while Jesus was walking and talking on the Earth. To put that another way, if we could stand on that line and point an impossibly powerful telescope back at Earth, we'd see Jesus walking and talking. The Milky Way is just one of many, many galaxies. This is Andromeda, our closest, 2.5 million light years away. It's the closest, it's slightly smaller than the Milky Way, but I think you'll agree that it's beautiful. It contains, again, hundreds of billions of stars, each one placed and named by the Creator. Go out further, we get to what we call the Lankeer supercluster. This is 500 million light years across. The Milky Way is, hopefully you can see a little red dot, is where we think it is. Again, this is a render rather than a picture. We can keep going out, and we get to the edge of what we can see. 93 billion light years across is what we call our observable universe. It's the extent at which we can see God's creation. As we contemplate the vastness of the universe, I want to remind you that God created all of it. I hope tonight, if it's clear, or at some point, you can go out, look up at the stars, and be in awe of them. Be in awe of the God who made them. And I want us to look up and feel, frankly, insignificant. David said in one of the Psalms, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. And when I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, it is easy to get lost in the vastness." It's easy to get lost in the vastness of the universe's size and forget about the detail and beauty in the comparatively small parts of it. The next few slides, I'm just going to show you some of the photographs we've taken that I think are the most beautiful parts of God's creation. And as I go through them, remember that God's creation shouts of his glory. Remember that as we go through, each star was set in place by the Creator. This is a nebula where stars are being made. I'm going to just show you these photos. And repeat the psalm. "When I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him?" Psalm is attributed to David, the defeater of Goliath and a king of Israel. I think when he wrote this, he would have looked up at the stars and felt small, but yet amazed that God, the creator of all of this and more, cared for him. The more we learn about the universe, the more spectacular it appears. To paraphrase David, what are we that the creator of all this cares for us. It's baffling, it's mind-bending to me, and wonderful that the Creator of all these things calls us by name. Now, how do we know that he cares for us? The Creator of everything, the Creator of everything we've explored and far, far more, came to earth as a man. And he got himself crucified so that we could be in relationship with him.